The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Jesse Kiefer.
This is Jen Tellick.
We're of the morning after, and we're here at Bonnaroo.
We were there.
It's episode 75, Bonnaroo recap.
Bonnaroo!
Jen and I have been having serious withdrawals from the artist hospitality tent.
Well, hold on. Let's wind it back a little bit, Ms. Kiefer, because we were able to travel to Bonnaroo to Manchester, Tennessee, to cover the event for Heritage Radio, to rep Heritage Radio. We had a blast. We did not know until our arrival that we were going to be given such a VIP treatment. So the lovely PR people that we've been working with, who are the best in the biz.
Chris and Alex at 44.
Unbelievable. They pretty much escorted us around like we were somebody's. And we drank for free.
I mean, really, it was, we planned our whole day about like when we were going to make it back to the tent to drink and use the trailer bathroom that wasn't a porta potty. It was pretty specific.
It was. And we drank, I'm willing to confess this for the sake of the people. Jesse's giving me the please don't do it look, but I'm going to do it anyway. We drank vodka Red Bull. On a daily basis.
It was vodka Red Bull and Coors Banquet beer.
Wait, and it was even worse because it wasn't just regular Red Bull. It was flavored Red Bull. It was like cranberry and blueberry Red Bull with vodka.
And that tasted like real cranberry.
You know what it tasted like? Like it was free.
It definitely did. Everything goes down easy when it's free.
It certainly does. We had a blast, though, and we've cut together a fun little show for you guys of all of the awesome food people and just music people and people that we talked to while there. Musicians, purveyors, food truck owners, chefs, and I think it's going to be a good one.
No, absolutely. We have this like jam-packed Bonnaroo show, but we also have an awesome guest today as well.
So we do have a bit of a theme going here because Bonnaroo is in the South and our amazing celebrity chef guest is also from the South. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the amazing, infamous, lovely Kat Cora here on The Morning After.
And Kat Cora is...
Hi.
Hey, Kat. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, you really are a restaurant mogul. You have pots and pans. You have spoons. You have olive oil. You have all sorts of things.
TV shows a go-go.
That too.
And now you have shoes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's been a wonderful journey. It just keeps getting better and better. And, we get approached by these, amazing partners and collaborators to do incredible things. And I couldn't be more thrilled. I'm just happy to. I love creating. It's one of the things that I think that is one of my strengths is creating concepts and products and whether it's, a TV concept or a restaurant or what have you. So it's a really exciting time.
So you've designed a line of shoes for Mozo. They're chef shoes. What is the importance of a chef shoe? What is the ideal chef shoe like?
Well, actually, they're more of what I consider more of a lifestyle shoe for women. And so, even though they have, the base of the shoe, the foundation of the shoe is very culinary style. For instance, the bottom is slip resistant. The shoe's wipeable. And the insole of the shoe is super, super comfortable. It's nice and thick, very comfortable. I wore them a lot before we actually went into production to create them to make sure that they had that comfort level. But they're very fashion forward. I wanted this to be a lifestyle shoe for these two separate collections. I wanted to be lifestyle shoes for women who were busy and on the go, and definitely adding mom to that as well. So really, we have a farmer's market collection that's a canvas style. So we have a Mary Jane and a ballerina. They're flat, slip-on canvas. They come in great, fun food colors, you know, very bright, you know, oranges and yellows and greens and things like that that are really fun. And you can wear them in the kitchen, but you can also wear them to yoga. You can wear them to go grocery shopping. You can wear them to drop the kids off. And that's really what I wanted. I wanted women to have a shoe that they could wear for almost any aspect of their day.
And this is something you can relate to.
I'm sorry.
I know, you go ahead.
Yeah. And then we have the Caviar. We have the Caviar collection, which is our the high end, which is you know, Italian leather. Again, it has all those same aspects for the kitchen. You can wear them. And my point with that shoe was really, again, a lifestyle shoe for, you know, busy women who also like to entertain at home or spend time in the kitchen where they can use it. You know, they can cook in them. They're a nice wedge. They're not too high, but they definitely give you some height and make you feel a little, you know, fashionable. And then when you go in the dining room, you know, with your guests or with your family, you can slip on a skirt or slacks and wear the same shoes. And that was really my point, is to really give women, you know, convenience.
And that's fabulous. I mean, Jesse and I were talking about them this morning because we both work in the food industry, and we've always, you know, we were remarking upon how we've had so many different kind of chef shoes, and of course we wear them for stability and comfortability, but, you know, you feel like you're wearing clown shoes with most of them, and it's hard when you're...
You absolutely do. There's just not a whole lot. There's very, very few attractive, you know, culinary shoes on the market or shoes that you can wear in the kitchen. They're just not a lot, and I really wanted to bring, you know, fashion to the kitchen, but also to women's life, busy women's lifestyle, because, you know, a lot of times we do have to wear shoes that are more, you know, they're very efficient and they're very comfortable, but they're not very attractive. And so I wanted to bring, you know, something, you know, bring sexy back.
Yeah, girl, and you're doing it hardcore. Now, I have a question. So you were approached with this idea, right, by Mozo. How did that collaborative process occur? Were you working with a team of designers? Did you start with your ideas first?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, you know, again, you know, like all of my restaurants or cookware, food lines, things like that, it's really about getting in a room, you know, together and just brainstorming ideas. I love fashion. You know, I've walked many red carpets, you know, but I've also been in the kitchen. I'm also a mom. So I kind of have that, you know, triple edge going for me that, you know, I can kind of I can, you know, really sympathize with all aspects of a female's life in many ways. So I was able to bring that, you know, to the table, but also I know what I like, you know, in fashion. You know, I love wearing a little bit of a heel. I love wedges because I think they're more, you know, they're very comfortable. So I was trying to find that, you know, medium ground of, you know, what can you wear that, you know, that you're going to be on your feet for a very long time in the day, but also that's comfortable and looks great, because we all want to have, you know, we all want to have a fashion sense. You know, so that was really kind of what we came together with. And then, you know, got in the room with some of Decker, actually. You know, they have many great brands. You know, UGG is one of them. And got in a room with an UGG designer and, you know, all of the executives from, you know, the Decker company and Mozo, and really came together and decided, you know, what are we going to do here? And just started throwing ideas around, you know, making sketches, you know, sketching out just like you would in any other fashion house, and just really went to town. It was great.
So where can we purchase these shoes?
Well, they can definitely be purchased on Amazon.com, Zappos, and hopefully, you know, we'll be in a really great brick-and-mortar department store sometime soon. We're talking to many people. So, and you can also just go to Deckers.com as well.
Fabulous. Well, I can't wait to check them out more. We're really impressed. And as ladies, I have to say, we would like to give you a particular thank you. Now, I just want to ask you one more question, Kat.
Sure.
Jesse and I were at Bonnaroo last week, which is in Manchester, Tennessee. I'm a Southern girl myself. Mm-hmm. I'm from Kentucky, and I know you are. Now, have you ever been to Bonnaroo? Do you know about anything about this?
I know all about Bonnaroo, but I have unfortunately never been able to go, but it is definitely on my bucket list.
You got to do it.
There one day,
it was crazy. Well, I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Kat.
Thanks, Kat.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Take care. You too.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back on the morning after with all of our Bonnaroo footage. This is the morning after on heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Andy's Biscuits by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
This is Jen Tulloch and Jesse Kiefer with The Morning After on Heritage Radio Network. We are at the Bonnaroo Food Truck Oasis, which is an awesome setup of about... How many trucks do we have total? Total, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, counting Jim and Nick's, which isn't a truck, but it's there. So 8 vendors total. We talked to a few yesterday. The crowd is chill today. Everybody's eating. Everybody's hanging out in the sun. What are you excited about eating today?
Well, this is the first time I've seen the savory and sweet taco truck, not the most ridiculous line, so we're definitely going to check in with them. I just love that we've got this, I mean, it really is an oasis because it's kind of far away from everything, on its own, all these trucks, the water slide is in the background, which is constantly tempting you, and then you can hear music all around you, so I'm pretty hungry for a taco, Jen.
I'm pretty hungry for a taco, too. Let's take care of that.
We never got to go down the water slide.
We never did, but you know what? There's always time next year. And next year, now I feel like just because we didn't go this year means we have to go extra hard next year. So I'm coming with floaties. I'm coming with a head camera.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. POV camera. It's happening next year.
The Food Truck Oasis is really the place at Bonnaroo to have kind of a more of a composed meal. Obviously, it is coming out of a truck, so they're usually more like smaller plates. But it's definitely a far cry from the normal festival food.
Absolutely. It provided so much more creative options, more artisanal options, dare I use that word, healthier options, locally sourced options. It wasn't Crisco food. You know, this was not just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. This was intelligently, cerebrally prepared food that happened to be enjoyed by a lot of people who were having a great time at a music festival covered in mud and most likely on some drugs. But
no, I mean, a lot of them seemed to really care about where they were going and what food trucks. And we have a clip from two siblings who were actually like, they would go to the food truck and they would each get something different. And it was kind of like a competition between the two of them who got the better dish. So we'll let you hear that.
This is Jen Tulloch and Jesse Kiefer with The Morning After on Heritage Radio. We made a couple of friends near the Food Truck Oasis. What are your guys' names and where are you from?
I'm Vivian. I'm from South Florida.
And I'm Robert. I'm from Atlanta.
And you guys are siblings, right?
Yeah, he's my younger brother.
What's the age difference?
5 years.
5 years?
5 years.
Does she boss you around growing up?
Oh, yeah. She delegates me to do everything here. So
you would say he's your minion.
There you go. I'll take you to Bonnaroo and just do everything for me.
You just have to be the henchman.
No, not at all. This has been a great experience to have together, though.
That's awesome. What are you guys eating?
We had from the Gastropod food truck. I had the short rib sliders. Mm. Very good.
Yeah?
Very good.
Chips on there?
We had the dirty chips that came with a slaw on it, some carrots, and then it was one of the sauces. I think the sauce that was on my...
Spicy mayonnaise
sauce, yeah.
And you guys were sharing that?
Oh, yeah. Because yeah. You're siblings.
Yes. And I had a sloppy Jose.
We tried the sloppy Jose yesterday. It was delicious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's been the best thing you've eaten at Bonnaroo so far?
Breakfast this morning.
What'd you have?
We actually went to the food truck, the breakfast food truck.
Awesome. Crack.
Do you know, there you go,
crack. Yeah.
I had the, what did I have? The, what is the first thing on the menu? It's like a bender. It's something
with an egg.
And it's pretty much like breakfast in a sandwich, everything you want it to be. It has the fried egg, it had like hash browns on it, cheese, and it's served on a really nice ciabatta bread. So it was like really rich. Really good, but it was just like every bite just felt like breakfast. Everything you wanted, breakfast. He had a cool variation.
I had a vegasm, which has nothing to do with. It's not vegan, but I guess they should say it's veggiegasm. Yeah, but it was pretty good. It had pesto, sun-dried tomatoes, an egg, hash browns,
spinach.
It was really good.
It was really good.
It was so good. I think this is the first time there was actually a breakfast truck. Yeah. Which made a lot of sense because I know you and I, you know, Jen and I were lucky enough to camp in an area that is not the general admission area, pretty close to most of the things we needed to do. Although we did have a big stadium light glaring into our tent when we went to bed, and we had the bright sun glaring into our tent when we woke up. So it was about 4 hours of sleep a night, and we'd wake up, you know, like needing coffee, but not really knowing where to go get some breakfast food. So it was cool that that was there.
Plenty of options for people. That was what made this so cool. I mean, I'd been to music festivals before, and obviously you have your elephant ears, you have your pretzels, you have your Dippin' Dots, and all of that stuff was present, which was cool. It didn't diminish the experience.
You freaked out about the Dippin' Dots.
I freaked out about the Dippin' Dots. They're tiny little ice cream balls. I mean, come on, people. Are we on the moon? We had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people, though, about what they were eating, so I want to hear from a couple more.
This is Jesse Kiefer of The Morning After here at Bonnaroo. I'm speaking with...
Hi, I'm Becky Burke with Roadie Rolls.
Where are you based out of?
Charleston, South Carolina.
All right.
Yeah.
And what's a roti roll?
We do everything in a Southeast Asian flatbread called roti paratha bread. So it's flaky, it's doughy, we cook it to order, it kind of poofs up, and then we are mobile, so we roll.
So are you always based out of a food truck?
We also have a farm stand in Charleston, and then we actually have a restaurant in Charleston, too, called The Green Door that we just opened up the past few months. So.
And is that roti roll based as well?
And we do have some options with rotis on it. We're in the back of a dive bar, so it's sort of like dive bar meets street food sort of concept. So
that's cool.
We're kind of all over the place.
Where do you you source your food from?
We source everything locally. So, for instance, all the veggies we have here... they're local from Charleston. So we got most of these from an organic farmer on John's Island.
Okay.
And then typically, we have pork here, but typically we get all of our beef from Maybeck Farms, which is an amazing grass-fed beef farmer. We make our own kimchi. It's actually all organic, too. So we really put a lot of love and prep into the food. So,
you're from Charleston originally?
I've lived a few of all over the place, but I consider Charleston home for sure.
What is the ultimate food in Charleston that screams South Carolina?
In Charleston, I would say shrimp and grits or something like that for sure. I actually used to work a husk for Sean Brock for quite a long time, so I would say pretty much anything you could eat there. Shrimp and grits, pig ears, pig. So, probably pig.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
So that was one of the awesome food truck purveyors that was at Bonnaroo this year of roadie rolls. I have to say that was one of my favorite things that we ate. That was I had one of the classic roadie rolls. It's just jam-packed full of really intense flavors. It was kimchi, their house-made kimchi, macaroni and cheese shells. And then it was like really, really rich pulled cured meat. Just beautiful. On a really thick, what was it, a pita?
It was a roti, but it almost felt like a pancake, kind of.
Yeah.
But a very savory one.
Incredibly rich.
I think our next interview is one of my favorites. This gentleman, Jeremiah Bullfrog.
This is the MVP, I think, of our entire trip.
I'm not sure if we're playing this part, but we were interviewing him, and he said his name is Jeremiah Bullfrog, and... The whole time, Jen and I are kind of like, wait, did he just say his name is Jeremiah was a bullfrog?
Yeah, and here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah Bullfrog.
So this is Jen Tulloch and Jesse Kiefer here with The Morning After. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
Jeremiah Bullfrog.
And you are with Gastropod. Now, what is Gastropod serving up today?
We're just throwing it down here at Bonnaroo. We're doing our high-volume menu. It's just street food classics. We're feeding the masses here, so it's not our usual, you know, sort of soignee food. It's just turn and burn.
So what's the through line? What's the thing that you absolutely had to travel with?
As far as...
The one dish.
The one dish you got to go for?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm quite partial to the old dirt dog. It's just our version of a hot dog. We just try to source a great, you know, hot dog sausage. And we serve it on a Martin's potato roll with our stupid slaw.
What's in the stupid slaw?
Well, it's stupid good. It's just pickled red cabbage and carrots. And just, you know, well-balanced with salt and sugar. Simple pickle.
Great. And where are you guys normally cooking from?
We're based out of Miami, Florida.
Awesome. So you're used to the heat?
The Miami heat.
The Miami heat, right?
The Miami Heat, which I will admit was a sports reference that flew over my head like a wayward sparrow until about 30 seconds later I was like, oh, I believe that was a pun.
Well, then we did get down to talking about, you know, Tennessee Heat versus the Miami Heat and not the basketball team, and how, you know, we asked him how he keeps cool, and he proceeded to walk us over to a big, giant, like, ice chest. It looks like the ice chest at the gas station, and pulled out a 24-pack of Miller High Life.
Which we got down to, I think, about 18 in our five-minute interview. So we talked to a couple of cats that were eating the food that the gastropod was cooking, and this was one of the reactions we got.
All right, so we're gonna try to talk to some people that just got to food. Hey, man, do you mind if I ask you?
That was me. I'm Steven.
So he doesn't want to talk to me. I think it's my American flexure.
Is there another Steven here? That was so ironic.
My gentleman, can I? We're with Heritage Radio. We're a food radio network in New York.
Awesome.
And I would love to. Can I get a first bite reaction from you?
Sure.
Can we make that happen?
Yeah.
So what did you order here?
So this is the short rib sliders. I got this because my friends ate here yesterday. One got the Sloppy Jose, the other one got the short rib sliders. They said that this is where it was at. The Sloppy Jose I would naturally gravitate towards too because it has the tangy sauce, but they said this one was so much better. So I wanted to try it, and like, I don't even know, it was like 11 o'clock last night, so I'm sure they were so hungry. But anything they would have put in their mouth would have tasted amazing, but they said this is where it was at. So
let's see how we go.
Let's do it. Very good.
So if you took this dish on a first date, would you go on a date with it again?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of spicy attitude to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, something you could work with a little.
My name is
He was so uncomfortable with my questions. I cut it before it got too sexy, but I'm pretty sure after a couple of vodka Red Bulls, which I had had that morning in the midday sun,
and then we just had about three High Lifes.
You know, so on the second date, would it get frisky? Would you think it would get sexy, or would you hold out? And I've never seen like a seemingly chill like bro dude from California get so waspy in one moment. He was like, "Oh, I don't know about that." And I was like, "All right, sir. You know, that's your prerogative."
I love that he referenced the Sloppy Jose, which is something that Jen and I ate from Gastropod, Jeremiah Bullfrog's food truck, and it's named so. Because he said there are a lot more Jose's in Miami than Joe's.
That's right. Now, we talked to a lot of colorful characters that were cooking up food at Bonnaroo. Another favorite of ours was this awesome dude who had a truck called the Big Cheese. So we talked to him about food for a little bit, but then the interview took a surprising turn.
My name is Patrick Rathbone.
Patrick, where are you from?
From Washington, D.C.
And you have a big, giant food truck called the Big Cheese. What do you make here?
We do grilled cheese sandwiches. We're offering four at the festival. Our most basic is the full Vermonti, and that is Shelburne Farms cheddar with on sourdough. Shelburne Farms is a historical working farm on Lake Champlain up in Vermont, thus full Vermonti. We're doing Lemon Fig, which it's a local Maryland dairy, local to us. Their chef with a lemon fig spread. On multigrain. We're doing a caprese. We make our own pesto and balsamic reduction, and that's, you know, basic tomato mozzarella. And then we're doing a thrilled cheese, which is chipotle cheddar with jalapeno and guacamole.
So, I mean, I understand bread, cheese is kind of harmonious, but what got you started making the grilled cheeses?
Well, when I started my food truck in D.C., there was about less than 15 trucks in the city, and there was already a pizza truck. I was thinking about doing pizza. I was like, well, I got to do something else. So grilled cheese was like kind of the offshoot of the wanting to do pizza and there already being a pizza truck. And actually, it turns out like it's super easy to execute. Prep is super easy, so you know, some of my fellow truckers in D.C. are a little bit jealous of how our menu is to produce.
When you were talking about the cheeses that are on all the sandwiches, it sounded like they were sourced pretty locally. Is that something that you follow throughout your ingredients?
Some of them are, it's either local, well, they're all artisan, local or organic. Some of them are from smaller farms, so they don't bother getting organic certified. Back in D.C., we do one that's Midnight Moon, and that's from Cypress Grove Creamery in New York. That's it's a goat milk gouda, and that's like an artisan. They actually are organic. We do one that's a cheddar sometimes called Barely Buzz that has coffee grind and lavender rind. It's really nice cheddar. It's more of a heavier winter cheese we use it for. And that one is, you know, it's organic, but they're not certified organic. It's one of those kind of things like the local farmers markets. They're too small. So, yeah, we either do artisan cheeses, either local or organic.
What are the important steps you have to take on the food truck? Because I imagine it's nothing like being in a restaurant where you have a space that's not moving.
Right. So we're, like I said, we're pretty fortunate with our prep. We make all of our sandwiches in the kitchen, and it's shred cheese, butter bread, put cheese on bread. You know, usually I try to use really nice cheeses and let that be the focus of the sandwich, and then we'll add like one other ingredient, like with the Midnight Moon, it's onions caramelized with balsamic reduction. So it's something to accent it, but not to take over the cheese. We take the sandwiches after they're produced in the kitchen, wrap them in bundles of 20, and put them on the truck, and then throw the sandwich on the grill, 2.5 minutes each side. Wintertime, maybe 3 minutes a side, but yeah, it's pretty simple to execute.
What was the choice to do grill versus like a press?
Well, this truck was a food truck previously. It was called Rebel Heroes. It was a Bami truck, and there was already a flat top in there. So there you go. the equipment was already on there.
Does anybody ever give you any big cheese jokes or like the cheese stands alone or anything like that?
Yeah, somebody did send me a link to like a Google page of like hundreds of, you know, cheese jokes. So, and we have a bunch of big cheese theme songs. If you're lactose intolerant, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but cheese ain't one. That would be one of them. So we got a couple more like that. So.
Will you guys be performing on any of the stages?
No.
Okay, next year.
See you next year, yeah. Rolling down the street in my food truck, snacking on cheese and soup. Laid back, got my mind on my tummy, got my tummy on my mind. Yeah. They just keep coming, yeah. Some people
nice.
Like, yeah. So.
He was amazing. Absolutely. Kind of made me think.
God bless him.
That we could do a rap like, talking with Jess and Jen. Laid back.
We're going to take a quick break here in the morning after, but we'll be right back with more Bonnaroo coverage. This is HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This one's called Without You by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from the morning after.
Back here on the morning after, Jen and I are reliving our time at Bonnaroo, and one of the biggest presences, and this was the first time I think they have done this at Bonnaroo, was barbecue. There was this huge collection called the Fatback Collection of Pitmasters, and it was one of our, I'm going to say hands down my favorite thing we ate was Saturday night. All these pitmasters had basically spent the entire day cooking a whole pig and pig shoulders, potato salad, coleslaw, chicken wings.
And the best potato salad, coleslaw, and chicken wings you've ever eaten.
It was like heirloom
potato. And again,
potato.
I'm from Kentucky, so this is, you know, this is in my wheelhouse. They really went above and beyond. This was the best barbecue hands down I've ever had in my life. So we talked to a handful of these pit masters, all of whom were great people, having a great time themselves. It was so cool to see
them all over the South
working their asses off to make great food, but also just having a chill time at a music festival. So let's hear from a couple of them.
This is the morning after on Heritage Radio Network. We are here at Bonnaroo, and the kind of theme, it seems, is this Jim and Nick's barbecue and this Fatback Collective. of all these pit masters from all over the country. I'm here right now with John Currents from Oxford, Mississippi.
Correct. Hey, how are you doing, dear?
How did you get involved with Jim and Nick's?
Well, I wish I could remember. It was very early in the morning when the talk began, as things will happen with Nick Bahakas, who is the Nick of Jim and Nick's. But there was this idea about getting a bunch of guys that were pitmasters and chefs together to go and compete at Memphis in May barbecue, which is sort of the world championship of barbecue, ostensibly. But you know, our feeling was it was very Memphis centric. You know, it's like the winners are all guys that, you know, they inject their pork. They, you know, they're using you know, packer commodity hogs, and you know, and everybody sort of steers towards the same Memphis style sauce, no matter where they're from. And those are the guys that typically, you know, are the winners every year. And so our idea was to go in and say, we're gonna take a heritage breed pig, we want to cook it, you know, our way, and you know, with what we feel like is, you know, the best amalgamation of sauces, you know, to really highlight pork, rather than play to the judges. And so we did, and we had a great time, and we took third in the whole hog competition, and had a blast, and really sort of made some waves. And the idea was that we could sort of bust the mold up a little bit. It collapsed in on us the next year when we went back and we decided our pig was perfect, but if we could just add a little bit of ketchup to the sauce and make it Memphis-y, that, you know, maybe we win the whole thing. And we really, I mean, we shot ourselves in the foot the second year, you know, just because we played into their hands rather than, you know, sticking to our guns, I think, so.
What is the benefit of using a heritage breed pig?
Well, I mean, you know, you're getting an animal that's been, you know, that's been raised properly, that's been fed, you know, properly, and then, you know, ultimately, and I know that this is, a lot of people roll their eyes when we talk about this, particularly PETA, but humanely slaughtered at the end, so that, you know, the animal's not totally stressed, so that lactic acid is coursing through the muscles, so that when they're killed, you know, they're seized up and tight, and it's a completely different product. So, you know, you have, with heritage breed pigs, you know, what you can look for within the different breeds are, you know, different qualities. You know, certain hogs are better for hams, certain are better for shoulders, bellies, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, our idea was to, you know, to work on sort of a super breed of pig for barbecue, you know, that had meaty hams, that was a high fat content, you know, that this had a, you know, a good intermuscular marbling, so that you know what you're working towards.
What is your secret recipe or your secret process, or maybe not so secret if you're going to tell me, just to barbecue?
I mean, I think if anybody that you talk to that's really successful, like, you know, Rodney and Sam Jones, who's here with us as well, and, you know, and you know, Nick and Drew Robinson, that the less thought that's put into it, you know, the less that it's overthought, the better the end product is. You know, the thing that I always go, you know, go back to thinking about when it's, whether it's making bacon, whether it's distilling whiskey, you know, cooking a pig. So guys have been doing this for hundreds of years, and they didn't used to have crazy injectors and MSG when they first started, you know, cooking whole hog. It's a very simple process. They were very, you know, there's the food of the people, simple guys were doing it, and so it doesn't need to be overthought. The minute you start, like, piling all kinds of shit on it, and, you know, you're trying to ostensibly sort of manipulate, you know, your product, that you lose the essence of it. And the greatness about, you know, about good barbecue is, you know, is it remains moist, it's good and smoky, you get the flavor of the pork come through. And, you know, which is why, you know, I've said for years that guys in the Carolinas figured it out. You know, no matter what anybody else will argue about sauces that get used, you know, a heavy vinegar-based sauce with a little bit of spice and a little bit of sweetness, you know, add the three sort of umami elements, you know, two simple smoked pork that make it transcendent.
We're speaking with Ashley Christensen of AC Restaurant Group, based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. We are talking to you with the pit masters, and you're not always cooking barbecue, right?
Right. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, and, you know, we're obviously very entrenched in barbecue culture. And North Carolina, like a lot of folks talk about specific states and their representation of barbecue, whereas we have, like, various, as many religions as we have in North Carolina, we have styles of barbecue and fanaticism to follow. So we are closer, you know, we're about 120 miles from the coast of North Carolina, so we have a tendency to lean towards eastern North Carolina, and personally a big love for it. So so that's sort of my connection, is that it's something that's just very embedded in the tradition of North Carolina. So it's something that means a lot to me and has for a long time. And we you know, with things like that that are so culturally diverse and also, you know, almost religious, there are things that we want to always be checking into and thinking about new approaches that are still really respectful to the history and culture of that art form.
So you're the only lady I've seen here with all these pitmasters. You know, what element do you feel like you're bringing to this to this crew?
Well, it's very interesting. So these guys had an amazing time in their first visit to Memphis in May, where they took third place in whole hog competition. And I love the project. I love that it was a group of people who were coming together to discuss, you know, how to not just better a sport, but better something that needs to be more beautifully accessible to people everywhere. And that in that, through, you know, being able to embrace great pork and raising animals the right way, and not just doing that and doing it for the sport of barbecue, but that's sort of like the means by which we want to introduce that to the world, is something that can be you know, participated in at every economic level. And that, you know, economic, you know, for us, a big part of our responsibility is finding a way that all you know, economic levels of household can still eat great food, and certainly can participate in supporting, you know, the beautiful small farm culture of proper hog farming.
What do you feel like the reception has been at Bonnaroo to this barbecue?
Oh, I think it's amazing. And it's one of those things where it's almost like cheating a little bit. Like, if you were going to do one thing in food, you've got something that smokes and smells like wood and smells like animal fat. And so it's sort of like a sneak attack. But so we've got a lot of folks coming up. And what I love about barbecue, and I think that's probably one of the reasons, aside from the fact that we all love it and it's something that's ingrained in our, you know, our sense of place, it's also just a really neat sensory invitation to talk about things that are very important in all of our homes.
We are here with the Handsome Men of Barbecue here at Bonnaroo 2013. Gentlemen, can you tell me your names?
I'm Drew Robinson.
Sam Jones.
And where do y'all cook your barbecue?
I cook barbecue at Jim and X, and based out of Birmingham, Alabama.
I'm a Skylight Inn Barbecue in Aiden, North Carolina.
All right, so it's two Southern men. I'm a Southern gal myself. So I grew up eating barbecue. A lot of us did, all over the country. Obviously, it has such a national love and such a cultural attachment. What's the secret to cooking perfect barbecue for anybody? Doesn't matter where they're from in the country.
Well, you know, time and patience and wood and smoke and low heat. You know, I was talking to Sam the other night, and we were up here at about 1 o'clock cooking when there wasn't anybody out here, and he said, this is, you know, he said, it's not the real glamorous at 1 o'clock in the morning. People aren't out here looking at it, you know. So, I mean, I think that's what people got to realize, is the time investment and the commitment, because if you try and do it quick, if you try and speed it up, then it's really not, you know, it's not going to be that delicious, moist, fall off the bone barbecue.
And what do you eat with your barbecue?
What do I eat with my barbecue? Miller High Life.
Eastern Carolina is going to be coleslaw, depending on where you are. Like this weekend, we're doing pickles and sauce on the sandwich. So, but cold beer is never ruled out.
Cold beer is never ruled out.
No, not at all. And after we talked barbecue in the hot, hot sun, we headed over to the beer tent. We talked with Evan and Kevin from Superfly Presents, who put that on.
We did. But before we talked to Evan and Kevin, we actually grabbed a couple of beer-guzzling plebeians, because our goal for the day, we were like, okay, we're going to talk to Evan and Kevin, we're going to talk to the big guys, but I was like, you know, we gotta talk to some people in the beer tent that are already a little bit drunk to sort of gauge the beer reactions. So we grabbed a couple of almost unwilling souls in the beer tent to talk to us.
I think they were more willing than the food people.
Yeah, I think because the food people were full of food and the beer people were full of beer. Check it out.
This is Joan and Jess with The Morning After on Heritage Radio Network. We're here with some of our buddies in the Bonnaroo Beer Tent. Can you tell me what you're drinking?
Drinking the Woodchuck Summer.
How is it?
Pretty good.
And you?
I'm actually drinking Good People Brewing Company, the Pale Ale. Awesome. Delicious.
I'm drinking Hello, My Name is Amber by the Flat 12 Beer Works. It's pretty delicious, I would say.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Brooklyn Brewing Company's Summer. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great one, Brooklyn.
Where are you guys from?
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Ohio.
We're hanging outside the Brewer's Tent at Bonnaroo with Evan Sutherland and Kevin Cole from Superfly Presents. These are the guys in charge of the beer tent, and walking around a festival, you see the usuals, the Budweisers, the Millers, but this is all craft beer. How did this craft beer tent get started?
This is our 11th year. It started on tables with the jockey box sitting on top of the tables. Now we have these gorgeous booths that have like this really Western-themed like area, and we have grown so much. I think we started with 11 beers and we've capped it at 25. We've basically outgrown our tent this year, and next year is going to be something different so that we can like really grow with the festival.
Who was one of the beginning breweries that you had here?
Our beginning breweries are actually the ones that have actually been with us the whole time. Sierra, also Star Hill, of course, is actually partners, small partners in the festival as well. So we've had the big ones, Magic Hat as well. Like, the ones that have become sponsors of the festivals are the ones that were with us at the very beginning. So they've grown with us as well.
Who's new this year?
We have 6 new breweries. We have Flat 12 out of Indianapolis. We have Good People, a local one in Alabama. We have Narragansett, which is back on the map from Rhode Island. They were in the 90s, they were, I guess, defunct, I guess is the word you would say. And they're back in business now, and we have them here at Bonnaroo. We're really happy about that. Harpoon Brewery, I believe, is new. I think Elysian was new last year. Off the top of my head, there might be one or two more, and I'm really sorry that I'm missing out on them. Crispin is a new cider that we picked up last year, organic, gluten-free. Both of our ciders, of course, are gluten-free. I want to mention our other cider today did an amazing, amazing presentation at our Brewers University program. They brought in like 5 or 6 different ciders, I think, a tequila-based cider, a hickory smoke-based cider, and it was absolutely fantastic. It was one of the best presentations we've had, actually, in our whole program. So we're really happy about that.
I feel like this is a year for cider. I feel like there's been a huge push for it, and craft breweries are seeing that it matters. And actually, I think the even larger companies are seeing that cider matters.
I can really bring it home to you guys, because Googa Mooga, we had cider smash records last year, actually. So we knew that cider was going to be really big. And then picking up Crispin or whatever it is. The one thing about it is you can get real sloshed real quick. So if you're drinking cider during the day, water back with those.
Kevin, what are you super excited about right now, craft brew-wise, in the tent right now?
Elysian right now. They're based out of Seattle. They only ship to 8 different states right now in the Pacific Northwest. But they come to Bonnaroo because they love coming to Bonnaroo, so they plan on coming here every year and debuting a bunch of really rare and really beautiful beers. And I have a really close relationship with them, so it was really great to see them out here promoting and doing a great job at the festival and the Brewers U tent.
Are there any like high octane, crazy alcohol percentage beers going on?
No, we did cap it at 6.2, I believe, and that may or may not be a Tennessee law. I did hear that someone mention that, but I'm not sure as I'm not from here. So we do realize that people would get drunkenly stumbling, falling over if we did do that. But there's still a ton of flavor here, and that's actually becoming a new trend in the craft beer market, is sessionable beers or low ABV beers, so you can drink all day and still function in society. So that's been a cool revelation, and to see a lot of these breweries coming out with some really flavorful IPAs still clocking in at 4.2% ABV.
Kevin, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Chicago, but I currently live in Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm one of the brewers at New Belgium Brewery. So I'm here kind of providing my expertise and knowledge in the field to help troubleshoot, or if anyone has any insanely beer geeky questions, they can be directed towards me instead of just denied. So yeah, I'm ready and willing to talk to anyone about beer and beer all day. It's fun.
So as a fellow Chicagoan, I have something on the brain that is the ultimate food to eat there, but what exactly makes you like feel at home food-wise, feel truly Chicago?
Portillo's Hot Dogs, actually, is my biggest one, but there's several different restaurants around town. I want to mention one in particular was Kuma's Burgers at Belmont and California, and best burger and best bar I've been to ever, I would say. They've been open for 4 years, and they're opening a new location, but anyways, they're incredible.
What makes it feel like Chicago?
It's a metal bar too, so I've had friends come with me that I had to drag in to like deal with the metal, but after they were done with their burger, they're like, all right, it was worth it. I totally understand what you're getting at. And they have been coming back every year, and this is one of, in particular, is an Egyptian friend, so he comes back from Egypt just to go to Kuma's in Chicago.
Evan, same question, where are you from and what food makes you feel most at home?
I'm from Northern California. I was born and raised halfway between San Francisco and San Jose. And tacos. I'm like a huge taco guy. All of them, under the sun, cabeza, lengua, pastor, whatever. I eat it all. I speak Spanish. I speak Brazilian Portuguese, and I've traveled a lot. So that, for me, is tacos are home for sure.
And the tortilla is key, right? The corn or flour.
Absolutely, the tortillas. I mean, that separates a quesadilla for me. A quesadilla is flour, and a taco can only be with corn tortillas. If it's not, then it's not a taco to me for sure.
Kevin, Evan, thank you so much.
This is the Morning After, once again in the beer tent with Evan, and we're about to try something out from Asheville Brewing Company. What do we have here?
This is their most popular Shiva IPA, it's called, and it really put them on the map. They've been doing really well with it. It has a real nice finish to it. Give it a try.
That's delicious. Want to give it a taste test?
What is this?
This is the Shiva from Asheville. Mm. All right, it's Beer and Bjork here at the Morning After tonight. Mad love.
Salud.
It was mad love. We had a blast, and we can't thank all of the people that helped us get there enough. I mean, Jack Ensley of Heritage Radio.
And Full Service.
Full Service, the amazing DJ collective, who, we got to give them a huge shout out, DJed a badass party at the Fuse tent with Roberta's. So Mad Roberta's Love and Heritage representing together, which was so cool. Our Alex and Chris from 44, Superfly. We had a blast, and we can't wait to be back next year talking about food and music.
And, I mean, I just have to end it with the fact that you were able to perform at the Fuse Barn as well with your act Genitari.
I did. So with that, we're going to play a quick little clip of that. It's been a blast. This has been The Morning After with Gentelic and Jesse Kiefer on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. I just did to it. Got a little bit of but I ain't
That's right. We're going to break it down for you, Brooklyn style right here. Any other folks in Brooklyn? That's right. Y'all wanna go leave with us? Cause stupid, ain't nobody got business. Don't do it, take them on, think about the life you lost. Play with this been there to the cross. I wanna get it with a top that you lost. Yeah, that body to a kid with a cross. Think about the life you lost. Play with this been there to the cross. I wanna get it with a top that you lost. Yeah, that body to a kid with a cross. Think about the life you lost. Yep, she's not bang.
Yes, sir.
Yep, she got chin up. We
yes,
got
sir.
Any Polish people up in here?
That's all right.
Chest, stop, T-hatch. Y'all bounce, y'all bounce. Full service, full service, y'all bounce.
Full service.